You're listening to the Cinemaniacs for May 31st, 2008. It's Saturday night. There's a stone cold bitch in the cheap seats, cracking my knees, cracking my knees. Okay, you grin fox, you bunch of fucking monkeys. Pretty pictures, say what? Hey, everybody, thanks for listening. My name is Walt. To my left is Jeff.
Yo.
You're listening to the Cinemaniacs, weekly podcast about movies and DVDs and
anything else we can think of. Pringle cans, whatever.
Thank you for listening. This week we're going to be talking about that little known film, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Wow, you are a little tongue-tied today, aren't you, Walt?
I am.
You're just having issues, you know. You're not smooth like you were last week.
Well, last week we were very sad.
That's what I'm saying. You were all emotional last week and everything like that, and, you know. But anyway.
Well, this week I've been excited because I haven't talked to you all week long.
I know.
And been wanting to talk to you about this movie.
Yes. This tiny little movie that, you know, nobody thought it would ever get made. So anyway, yeah, I'm noticing you're not as eloquent as you were last week. You know, I guess you were a little emotional with the whole Sidney Pollack thing, but it's not like anybody's even heard the thing.
By the time they're listening to this show, they would have heard that one.
You think?
I think.
Perhaps. I don't know, man. It takes you so long to get these things up. How do we know that we've actually gotten this one up and the other one's still waiting to be edited?
Well, I try to do them in order.
Okay. Okay, well, if you haven't heard this one and he hasn't gotten up, then the whole Pringles thing is not going to make a word of sense. But if you heard the one before, then you're going to get it. So, you know, good luck to you. You're pretty much in Walt's hands.
If I didn't get the last week's show up.
Right, and they're listening to it now.
Could Sidney Pollack still be with us?
God only knows. It's a possibility.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, enough with the ridiculous.
Indiana Jones came out last week.
Yes, it did.
Something like $140 million over the 4 days.
Oh, yeah.
Big money.
Yep.
Big money.
I paid my share, gladly.
As did we.
Yeah.
And you went to a midnight showing.
I went to a midnight showing, man. Yeah, me and your brother.
Yeah.
Yep. Me and your brother Pete. He stayed awake the whole time, too.
Get out.
I swear to God.
Wow.
Yes.
He doesn't stay awake in the daytime, let alone nighttime.
The dude falls asleep standing up, for Christ's sake. All right? Yeah, no, he actually was awake and alert throughout the entire movie. It was impressive.
That's nice.
Yes. That's nice. Anyway, yes, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. We've been waiting 19 years for another Indiana Jones movie. Everybody's saying they would do it. Harrison Ford says the right script comes along, he would gladly do it. He loves the character, and he was true to his word. They came out with a story, and he did it. And man, did he do it.
So it takes place 20 years after the last
movie. Yeah, that's the great part.
Actually, not after the last movie, but after Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right. Yes. But and he's Indiana Jones is 20 years older, you know, and it's you know, and it shows a little bit, and they play on it. They don't, you know, they don't try and hide it. And it's great. The enemy aren't the Nazis anymore. Now it's the Russians. It's a Cold War time. Makes right. Perfect sense.
From going from the 30s to the 50s.
Exactly.
And they play a lot with the 50s.
Absolutely. You know? No, it has a 50s feel. The movie has a 50s feel to it.
The greasy-haired, leather jacket-wearing people.
And oh, yeah.
Like you said, the Cold War.
Yeah, everything about it. I mean, they did it so well. Mm. I really had fun with this movie.
In comparison to the other ones?
You know what? If I got to put it in, you know, it's like this, you know, none of them ever compare to that first one, you know?
Right.
That first one was just so perfect, you know? And everything after, and I'll call Last Crusade a close second, but it's still, you know, it's better than it. Okay. Hang on.
Yeah. Let's back up for a second.
Yeah.
Because a couple weeks ago, we had Indiana Jones marathon.
We had our marathon, exactly.
And we watched all three films back to back to back.
Back to back to back and had a ball.
And that's where I discovered something I never noticed before, that Raiders of the Lost Ark is the last one in the series.
Chronologically. Right.
And then they go back to, I think, that was in 37.
Right.
I probably shouldn't be quoting that.
Yeah.
But then the number two is about 5 years before that. And number three is about a year after that. So Raiders of the Lost Ark is the last one chronologically. So when you say 20 years later, now it's in the 50s, and we have what's going on now. So it's kind of a continuation of that story.
Right.
And I forgot what I was going with that. Well, so what you said is exactly the way that I feel, that Raiders of the Lost Ark is just a fantastically perfect film. And then Temple of Doom,
which came out next. Everybody, you know, a lot of people were disappointed with it, and I call it the weakest of the three. But that's not to say I didn't enjoy it. I mean, right. There were still very funny moments. You know, everybody gripes about they gripe about Short Round and then the Willie character played by Kate Capshaw. And yes, she was annoying, but you know what? To her credit, she was supposed to be annoying. She was She was supposed to be played annoying.
Exactly.
And the other thing is, there's got to be somebody there for Indiana Jones to talk to explain to us, the audience, what's going on. Otherwise, he's walking around monologuing all over the place, and that's going to look even stupider.
True.
So you got to, you know, guess what? As much as you dislike those people, guess what? They're necessary. They got to be there, you know? And I still had fun watching that one. And then the third one, you know, The Last Crusade, you know, he's actually got, you know, people along his lines, you know, archaeologists like himself to talk to. So you got, you know, once again, no inner monologuing. You got to have these other people for him to talk to explain to us, the audience, what's going on. It's the, you know, and it's the way it is all through all three movies. And so, you know, and this new one is no different. You know, it doesn't reach the heights that the first one does, but it's still just a fun ride.
It was a fun movie, but far from perfect.
No, of course not.
You know, and what I mean
but
is like,
I had, you know what, I had enough, I literally, I told your brother this, I had enough fun that I could forgive the parts where I just went, yeah, okay. You know, right. There are those moments where it's just like, you know, whatever, but you forgive it because you're just with old friends and you're having fun.
Right.
You know?
Somebody said that this movie seemed like a Raiders of the Lost Ark ripoff like the Mummy movies were. Well, I went to see the Mummy movies, especially the first one. I was like, this is just like Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So if you compare it to that, I'm happy. You know.
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I read an article just about how, you know, there were so many, especially in the 80s, right after Raiders hit, there were so many of these, you know, poorly done knockoffs.
Poorly done.
Poorly done.
Quartermain.
All of those, you know. And, yeah, there were a lot of those. And, you know, it's just when it's going to spawn. But even when they made the sequels, they're still, I mean, even the sequels, which weren't as good as the first, still head and shoulders above most of the other type of stuff you're going to see in that genre nowadays.
Definitely.
And back then, you know. And the same here. Like I said, there are moments that are fairly contrived and everything like that, but there are also genuine moments where you're glued to the screen and there's just pure eye candy and you're having fun.
And there were those scenes. There were those scenes. I wish there was more of them. But like I said, I was a little disappointed by this one. And I went in there not expecting greatness. I knew it couldn't live up to any expectations.
Right. No. I did too. No, I went there, you know, I went there just wanting to have a good time. As long as I had fun.
Right.
I don't care, and I was going to forgive any, because there are, in the other two, there in the second two, there are those moments that you just have to forgive, you know?
Right.
It's like, okay, so what? Move on. Let's have some fun. You know? And that was the same for me. I had such a ball.
Yeah. And sitting next to my sons when they're watching it, and they were having a ball too, and that, which helps make the movie better.
Yeah.
You know? Just a couple of notes, though. They wanted to do the real special effects as opposed to the CGI stuff.
Right.
There's way too much CGI in here.
There's a lot of CGI.
And it took me out of the picture. You know, there's a chase scene. They show a little bit of it in the trailer, and it was like all CGI. And it was like, what is this? This is not Indiana Jones.
That's true. And
and being that George Lucas has a hand in it and Steven Spielberg, you have to figure they're going to use industrial light and magic. So if they're going to use CGI, they're going to use the best of the best, right?
Right.
Industrial light and magic, hands above everybody else. But it wasn't. You know, you can definitely tell. There was a scene even in the beginning of the movie. The beginning of the movie starts in a warehouse where, you know, the boxes are all stored, like the Raiders of the Lost Ark. The Lost Ark itself is stored there.
Right.
They weren't even in a warehouse. They were on a green screen. Yeah. And it was just flagrantly, like, you could tell. It was like something you'd see on maybe Doctor Who. No, Land of the Lost. It's a green screen like Land of the Lost.
Now, that's what I was comparing Temple of Doom to, was Land of the Lost.
Is that right?
Yeah. After we watched it, I was like, wow, there was some Land of the Lost moments in there, you know? just some really bad CG. Yeah, I could see a whole lot of CG in there, but once again, I wasn't noticing it so much because I was just too busy, really focused on, you know, watching this character, watching this guy, you know, seeing this much older man, but is he still indie? You know, that was the thing.
And I will give him that. Almost always, he was still Indiana Jones.
He was so still indie. Yeah,
you know, they did have several scenes. Again, I don't want to give anything away, so I pull things from the trailers when he's swinging around that same warehouse.
Sure,
you know, that's great stuff. The motorcycle ride with Shia LaBeouf, who's in this movie. And I hope I pronounce his name right. I get tired of trying to remember.
Yeah, just whatever.
Sorry, guy.
Yeah, dude.
So if you're listening, email us how to pronounce your name correctly, podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. And Shia, you're all
right. Yeah, that's right. We'll see you in Transformers 2, buddy. Right. Oh, wait, what's he got coming before that? He's got this other movie where he's framed as a terrorist or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Is he playing like a Middle Eastern character?
No. No, it's weird, though. He like first of all, he's like at the ATM. This is in the trailer. He's at the ATM, and all of a sudden, his bank account's just chock full of money.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gets home, and his home's just filled with terrorist crap, explosives and rocket launchers and crap.
I didn't see that.
And he gets the phone call going, hey, you're going to be busted by the FBI. You better run.
Yeah, and it says you got to get out of the building.
You got to get out of the building, yeah.
And he didn't, and so now he's in trouble.
Yeah.
Right. We told you to get out of there. Now you got a second chance.
Here's your second chance, and then they drive a friggin' crane into the building. It was awesome, yeah. So that looks pretty fun.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's called like Eagle Eye or something.
Eagle Eye. I believe you're right.
Okay. I'm always right, dude.
So, the motorcycle scene was great. And the ants. I love the ants.
The ants was cool.
That was very fun.
And once again, yeah. Well, I don't want to give anything away, but, you know, another just knockdown, drag out fist fight, you know. In the middle of all that. How cool is that? You know, and you got those crazy sounds, you know, the sounds that no fist fight you've ever heard in your life sounds like.
Right.
You know, everybody's punching the side of a warehouse wall, you know, when they hit each other. Love it. Right. You know?
Yep. Like I said, I don't want to spoil the movie. So let's do this. After we're done, we'll play the theme music, the outro music.
Right.
And then we'll just spoil the heck out of this movie.
Cool.
Okay? If you're listening and you don't want to be spoiled by the movie, once you hear the theme song or ending
turn
theme song
off.
Music, turn it off.
Turn it off.
You don't want to be spoiled.
That's it.
All right. So it was a very good movie. Not as great. And I don't want to sound disappointed because I didn't expect a lot. But I don't want to say it's just great, great, great. When they make another one, I'll be right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay,
this is a problem I have.
Okay, go on.
Is that they waited so long to get this perfect script, and they didn't get it, my opinion. They didn't get this great script. Frank Darabont, who's everybody knows for directing The Green Mile, Shawshank Redemption, even last year's The Mist, which was a very good movie, all based on Stephen King stories, to be sure. But he had turned in a script that Spielberg and Harrison Ford both loved, and George Lucas threw it out. To come up with his own script.
Right.
And George Lucas, as great as he is, that so much he has done for us fans.
Yeah. Oh, I know. He's nuts.
It's just, he disappoints.
Sure. He's not, I mean, yes, he's written, you know, the first three Star Wars movies, and the second three were fun. Revenge of the Sith was great.
Right.
But I'm not going to call him the greatest screenwriter in the world.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I know what you mean. I would be very curious to see. I would love to see that Frank Darabont script, see what that was about. I bet that would have been an interesting movie as well.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you, I had fun. It was nice.
Right. We don't have the Frank Darabont movie.
We have this, and you know what? I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know? And I'll be there to buy my 4-disc Blu-ray set when that comes out, and, you know.
And so hopefully there'll be more. I mean, this movie made some money, so that immediately comes to mind. I know George Lucas kind of stalls and takes his time, but
Well, they can't. I mean, they definitely shouldn't hold out too much longer. They shouldn't wait another 20 years.
That's right.
I'm sorry, Harrison's in good shape, but I don't know if he's got that much time. You know,
exactly.
But you know what? It was fun. Oh, one of the funniest things I saw in relation to that. I remember seeing online a picture and a set picture, Harrison Ford sitting there, one of the partners, and George Lucas standing there wearing a hand shot first T-shirt.
A what?
Han shot first.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Somebody's
because he gets so much crap for switching that thing in the redo of Star Wars,
right.
The original,
right?
One,
in the remakes, or not the remakes, but what are they called? The special editions.
The special editions. They
right.
they
have
just
Greedo
ruined,
shooting first.
Yeah, they
of Han
totally
Solo.
They ruined that scene with that, and just to see him wearing that shirt was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Thought that was amusing. Especially standing there right in front of Harrison Ford, who's, you know, if you've ever seen him in some of the interviews, he kind of tries to distance himself from that character nowadays.
Right, he really, and it's not something new. He's
been
that way.
Yeah, a long time.
What, back in the early 90s, we saw an interview with him, and they asked him about Han Solo, and he said, I think that character's kind of done with. What about Indiana Jones?
In New York Minute.
In New York Minute.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so he's always been against Han Solo for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, like I say, he thinks he's done all he can with that, you know, so be it, you know. I mean, I don't want to see him as Han Solo now, you right. know.
Now, speaking of Harrison Ford,
right.
Definitely one of Harrison Ford's best movie in a long time now.
So much fun. Oh, yeah. Like I said, you know, I couldn't recommend it enough. I would say go out and see it. You know, there are going to be parts that make you scratch your head and go, eh, but you'll forgive it because in the next scene you're going to be just glued to see if, you know, who's going to, if anybody's going to die horribly, you know, because there's just so much craziness going on.
It is. It
you
is.
Know, a lot of fun. Some good supporting roles. Shia LaBeouf was good in this.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. He is always good.
Yeah.
The reason why Steven Spielberg kind of adopted him, I'm going to say, because he was in Transformers, which is, you know, DreamWorks, being right. a Steven Spielberg produced movie. And he's in this one. He's in
Disturbia. He was great
Disturbia,
in Disturbia.
DreamWorks.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And which shows, yeah. that was the thing about Disturbia, that shows he could carry a movie. Because that was
right.
pretty much, I mean, it was him, you know?
Yep.
So that was, you know, I enjoyed that, but I enjoyed him in it. Okay, you got Ray Winston in there.
Right.
Who I love, you know? Yeah. And he was great.
He was good.
Yeah.
Good. And we didn't even really talk about, besides that, those people, Cate Blanchett, playing the Russian...
The Russian... enemy, the bad yeah. guy, the villain.
Right.
You know, we got a cool female villain, you know?
She is so amazing.
Yes, she is. She's awesome. And even though her part was kind of small and really kind of... That was the one part that felt a little crammed in there was getting Marion Ravenwood back in there.
Right.
I mean,
played
I know...
by Karen Allen.
Karen Allen. And it was still fun and everything like that. And there were really funny moments there. That was one that did feel a little forced, but...
Right.
It was still good to see.
Like just
know?
A point, a thing. They didn't need to put her in there, like you said.
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf could have been the sidekick like Short Round was in the second one.
Yeah.
You got the villain.
Well, you got the... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it did make for some very amusing moments right. with that whole storyline. So, you know, and it definitely had this, okay, we're going to get the gang back together feel to it.
Definitely.
Which I normally don't go for. And like I said, it wasn't completely overboard with it, so it was just enough that I could forgive the shortcomings just to go and have fun, you know.
Yeah, I give it 4 stars.
Oh yeah, 4 stars, solid 4.
Okay, so we're not too far off just in our opinions of it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
good.
Yeah, nice day of the movie. See it on the big screen. There's some really cool things to see.
Yes. Yeah. I would say that.
Yeah.
So if you're going to see it on the big screen.
There's some good eye candy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So now this weekend came out another highly anticipated movie. I have been waiting so long to see this movie, and it finally came out, Sex in the City.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Really?
Folks, you should have seen the look on my face just now. Like, what?
Here's the thing that irritated me about that show. I'm changing topics here.
Okay.
Is that the TV show, it wasn't a bad show, but it wasn't cutting edge enough. Okay. HBO has done some stuff that's more extreme cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking rated R type of stuff.
Sure.
That show had some fancy dialogue, but not anything. When you say sex, it should be, you know, but it didn't. So here's a movie. Now you have free reign to do everything. I think it's like rated PG-13. Like, what the heck? And maybe because now it's showing reruns on, I don't know what channel, you know, it's in syndication now.
Sure.
And so a lot of people have turned onto it. They probably cut even more stuff out of it from the HBO thing.
Yeah.
So it's just a disappointing thing. I'm not a fan at all. You know, I catch it Actually, I don't ever watch it.
I've never seen an episode. I have no idea.
You know,
and don't particularly care. I know they have a huge fan base, and you know, okay, whatever, more power to them. You know? Yeah, but yeah, it was pretty funny.
No, next week that Kung Fu Panda comes out, as well as You Don't Mess with the Zohan, Adam Sandler's new movie.
Right.
So maybe we'll talk about those.
There you go. You gonna take the kids to that? Yeah, Zohan. I'm kidding.
No, I thought about it.
You thought about taking kids to Zohan?
Yeah, it's PG-13.
Yeah. I figured you'd be. I know you're taking them to Panda.
Yeah. They really want the boys especially are really excited to see that, and I had no interest in seeing it at all. But Jack Black, I don't think he's ever done a bad movie.
Yeah.
And so it should be fun.
I like, well, you know me, I love CG, so, and I like good CG, and so I'm curious to see the whole, you know, the idea of, you know, animals doing kung fu, you know, snake-style kung fu. How do you do snakes? How does a snake do kung fu? You know, things like that.
Right.
Sounds interesting to me, so, you know, don't know if I'll see it. I have a feeling it might be a DVD for me just because it's a kid's movie, family movie or whatever, and I just don't get out to see those.
Well, hopefully it's not. I mean, DreamWorks did Shrek, and they did Madagascar, and those movies appeal to people of all ages.
Well,
you know, I don't hold them in a class like Pixar.
Yeah,
but those couple of DreamWorks.
Well, I'll say that about Shrek. I didn't care for Madagascar so much.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think on repeat viewings, Madagascar got better.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's that song, that Move It song that they redid. For that. I like that song, and maybe it's because the kids just go crazy over it and they're dancing like crazy, but.
I like to move it, move it.
Say so.
I like to move it, move it.
That was actually one of the low points for me.
But that guy, the little king guy, is so funny.
You know who that is, right?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Sacha Baron Cohen, dude.
Yeah, see, this funny guy.
Oh, no, and his part was, he was, overall, I just didn't care for the movie so much, you know. But, no, he was funny.
Right? Yeah, he was funny.
No, Sacha Baron Cohen's awesome. I can't wait to see the Bruno movie.
Right,
that's going to be wild.
Yes.
You know? But, yeah, overall, I just didn't care for it.
But, hey.
You know, it was like just one step above what that Fish Tales or whatever the hell.
Shark Tale?
Shark Tale.
It was above Shark Tale for sure.
Yeah. And hey, there's a crappy movie Jack Black did.
Jack Black was in Shark Tale?
Yeah. He was the little effeminate shark that didn't want to kill anything.
Oh, Lenny?
Yeah.
The Sun Shark.
Yeah, it was Jack Black, yeah.
Huh. Yeah. That's definitely one of his worst movies. I didn't mind it too much. I'd probably give it 3 stars, the Shark Tale.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah, that's a 1 star for me, man.
Yeah. And I've seen
I hated that movie
a few times now, too.
I despise that movie. It's everything that's wrong with animation.
Wow.
It really is. They could, well, first of all,
you don't
they could,
watch enough animation. Then.
They couldn't make up their mind, dude. They couldn't make up their mind if it was going to be fish or urban. You know, it's, and you got fish riding elevators and stuff like that, where, and it's real elevators where, and then, and you know, you, like you'd see like the streets, like the street signal would be made out of something that might occur naturally in the ocean.
Okay.
You know, maybe a couple animals that might glow green and red, but then you move up and, you know, and you're in regular steel elevators that humans would ride. They couldn't make up their mind, you know, and it was just lowest common denominator. You know, the one time the Will Smith character, who looks like Will Smith the whole time, swims like a fish, he doesn't look right. He's actually swimming like a fish would swim, and he doesn't look right. You know, just everything about it. God, I dislike that movie so much.
I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
Wow,
you know,
so my expectations for the Kung Fu Panda.
I don't know,
Shark
man.
Shark Tale and Madagascar, you didn't care for. And, but you know what?
But
then again, Animation did Shrek 2 and 3 as well.
That's true. And you hate, I mean, I think you hate those more than
I
anything.
Think Shrek 3, was that the worst movie of the year? No, was, second to Ghost Rider.
No, you said that was your worst movie of the year, Shrek 3.
Oh, Shrek 3?
Yeah. Okay. And that's the thing. The first Shrek was an amazing movie. We, like I said, we discussed it. The first one was done so well, and to take them and then these next two movies take such a good lineage and just wreck it is travesty. You know, I would tell anybody to see the first one. Absolutely. I thought it was great. Perfect movie.
And pretend like there's no more.
Exactly. And don't watch anymore. And just, they live happily ever after, you're done. You know? No, exactly. Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, I'm hoping they learn their lessons with stuff like that. We'll see, you know?
We will see.
Yep.
Next week.
That's right.
Cinemaniacs.
Hey, be there.
Speaking of Cinemaniacs, well, in particular, Podcast Alley, where you can go to and vote for podcasts.
Right.
And then you get higher up in the rankings and more people get exposed to your show.
Mm-hmm.
We're up to 145.
Yeah, baby. 145 with a bullet.
Yep. I mean, there's a couple thousand podcasts out there in the TV and film category.
Nice.
So we're doing pretty good.
A couple thousand. That puts us in the top 95 percentile.
That's, there you go.
All right. So rock on.
And we do want to hear some feedback from you, listeners. Podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. Email us and with your comments.
Yeah, we'd love to know what you think.
So thank you for listening. Have a good night.
Take care. Later. Okay, man, how fun was the intro? Come on, the beginning of that thing?
It was good.
I mean, but, you know, well, you know what? It started off kind of slow, but then it got, you know, once the, I mean, there was the suspense and everything, the finding the stupid thing and everything like that, you know, using the magnets, you know, using, it was all
right. Right, but the gunpowder stuff.
The gunpowder.
Around.
Yeah.
CGI.
But once he bailed, once he starts running and everything like that, when the action starts,
right.
I mean, how much freaking fun was that?
That was good.
I mean, Lord, the guy gets blasted on a rocket sled out of the thing, you know?
Right.
Gets out there. He's wandering through the desert, finds this little town, realizes he's in the damn test zone, you know?
And which is cool because it's 50s stuff and they're
exactly.
doing all those atomic bombs. I mean, that's Nevada.
It's exactly.
So it's at home. I understand that. But then the bomb goes off, and he's in a refrigerator.
How awesome was that?
You don't get saved by a refrigerator.
Sure, it's lead line. It says right there, you got the conveniently placed thing. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It's worth it for that one scene. The one scene where he gets out of the fridge, walks up the ridge, and you got Indiana Jones. You're standing behind Indiana Jones, and he's staring at the biggest freaking mushroom cloud you've ever seen in your life. You know, the thing's beautiful. I was just like, what a great scene, you know?
It was a finishing touch to a scene, but refrigerator?
Why not?
Because nuclear explosions, you see, it levels everything. There's nothing left. It's just dust. Boom. Refrigerator's not going to make it.
Now you see the house. They don't go turn into dust. They explode into big old chunks and stuff. You know? It was fun. It was fun.
And you know, going with the 50s theme, aliens?
Yeah. I know.
Okay.
You know, and
I want to make sure you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I admit when we hit the whole, you know, at the end, you hit the ship and you get, you know, it's like, wow, this is... crossed into, you know, this is crossed into Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
And believe
know?
Me, Steven Spielberg does Aliens, whether it's Close Encounters or, which by the way, I'm not a big fan of, but then you have E.T. and
sure.
even War of the Worlds. Those movies I loved.
Yeah.
And so Steven Spielberg can do Aliens, and you could say George Lucas does with all the Star Wars movies. That's all,
sure.
they're all Aliens.
Oh, and how about that little shout out to the Star Wars movies, getting to hear Harrison Ford say, I got a bad feeling about this.
It was awesome.
That was
awesome.
Cool. Come on. That was a guilt, was a, you know, the guiltiest of guilty pleasures. You just
I clapped
mind.
And cheered when
it was
I
just
heard
like,
that.
Yes!
It was
I know. You know, there was just some amazing moments. But I know what you mean. Like the whole... you know, you mentioned earlier the running, the scene in the jungle. You know, first of all, they're in such deep jungle. How come there's already two roads for them to be driving down?
Wait.
You know?
In the jungle, but they got that big machine that's cutting everything down, and the machine blows up, and they're still driving through the jungle.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. And they have two conveniently placed roads right next to one another in
right.
the middle of the jungle.
So,
of course, you know.
They're standing, Shia LaBeouf is standing on these two cars, and the bushes are hitting him in his crotch.
Yeah, crotch shots.
These CGI bushes. Like, what the heck? It's like Warner Brothers cartoon or something. I didn't care for that. And I'm looking at watching this chase scene thinking to myself, this should be really good. And it's not.
Yeah.
I was disappointed.
I don't
by
know.
That.
It was
now when they got to the cliff and they were going to go over the edge and stuff. That was good. I like
that.
Yeah,
the three waterfalls was funny. You know.
Well, that too. The two. I was talking about the cars driving on the cliff.
Oh, but, that yeah. No, right before the ants. Right before
right.
the yeah. And yeah, the ants was great.
The ants
was
fantastic.
Awesome. And like I said, the two of those dudes just going at each other, just completely surrounded by ants, just beating the living shit out of each other.
Yeah,
you know.
Definitely.
It was so much fun.
And in fact, the skull thing with the mind control, whatever is in it. I didn't even have a problem with that as far as where it came to the ants. Because I figure if the skull's controlling people's minds, okay, the ants are scared of it.
Sure, it's some kind of weird power. Exactly. You know, it sucks metal, even gold, which isn't magnetic, you know, things like that.
Right.
You know, and it was, you know, like I said, those are the implausibilities, but there was enough fun stuff. There was enough eye candy, you know. I mean, that was the first thing I said when I went to work the next day, talking with a coworker that saw it at a midnight showing as well, is they freaking nuked Indiana Jones, man. Yeah. They nuked him in the beginning of the movie. How do you, you know, that's how you bring somebody back in the fires of a nuclear explosion. That was brilliant. You know, I love that part. Yeah, that's the whole rest. I love that's got to be my favorite part of the whole movie, and I still like the whole rest of the movie. But that one scene right there, the way that whole part finished out, you know.
Yeah.
And I also did like that they messed with it, you know, that the whole McCarthyism Red Scare was so that they brought that in so bad that they would even question Indiana Jones, you know. I love that, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, they were messing with his life. They got him fired from his job and, you know, made him a person of interest or whatever with,
right,
you know,
right.
as a possible communist or whatever. You know, it was great.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of that interesting stuff.
And the love child, Shia LaBeouf, is the son?
Yeah. Well, once again, forced in there with a friggin' pry bar, but
he could have been the sidekick without being the son.
It's true, but you know what? It gave us some really amusing moments, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Come on, he's your son. Why didn't you make him go back to school? Come on.
Yeah.
come on. Hilarious. Freaking hilarious, you know?
Now, Sean Connery didn't come back because
no.
He's retired. They asked him to do a cameo. He said no.
No.
He's not interested in doing that. Okay. So the guy who plays Marcus,
Denholm Elliott.
He actually did pass away.
He did pass away. Very. So that was sad. Yeah.
But they talked about him and
they brought him up. They gave him a nice little, you know, little shout out there with the photo and with the statue.
Right.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was really cute. So. The whole and at the end, the whole your grandfather's up there laughing thing was a little forced in there. Right. You know, like I said, but you know, this is it. There were flaws and everything like that, but there was enough fun that I was able to forgive those and still have just a really good time. So,
and I did too.
Yeah.
Just not as great as I wanted to have, I guess.
No, but you know what? You can never, you know, your reality can never live up to your expectations. You know, it's just like, oh my God, they're going to make this. It's going to be just, you can never, it's hard to hit that. You know, that's a hard target to make, you know?
Right.
And pleasing everybody. You know?
Yeah, you're never going to please everybody.
Yep. But, yeah, those were my favorite parts.
Jungle boogie. Move it.
never gonna end, because it is. 3, 2, 1. Not bad, eh? I like it.